Welcome to Five Star Radio. Consider this your warning.
Hey there, cats, kittens, Mike Coughlin, walking the dogs, talking to you, because we got limited time before I depart for a long weekend in New York City. I go on vacations like other people go on vacations, except for my work doesn't suffer, because it was never good enough to begin with. But we'll be there for SummerSlam and all the festivities surrounding that. Not that we give a shit about SummerSlam, I don't actually think we're going to SummerSlam itself, but we're going to see some other shit, and I don't know. If I'm dead, let this be my last show, and let it be appropriate that in my last show, the fucking earpiece fell out within a minute or two. But yes, we also have UFC Fight Night 704 from Saskatchewan, Canada. I looked it up. It is a town of 250,000 people, which means it is barely bigger than Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And yet it's getting a UFC. And it's getting a UFC headlined by Max Holloway and Charles Oliveira. And then absolutely nothing fucking else. Oh, there's a few people you've heard of. Eric Silva fights on the undercard. He's supposed to fight Rick Story. And that would have been a decent one, too. Instead, Story's injured, so now he faces Neil Magny. There's other people on the card. Sam Stout is probably semi-local-ish. I don't know. It's Canada. I think we got Canadians like, oh, we're not, no, it's the same, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you're a fucking country of 25 million people or whatever. When people talk about like, oh, the Toronto Blue Jays, they could be a big, big team. They could have the entire Canadian market. Well, even if that's true, fucking New York City is 20-some million people. The total, you know, the surrounding area. Chicago's 10 million plus. Canada, you are a small, small-ass country. It's okay. Size doesn't always matter. But you're already Canadian, so you got a lot of shit going against you. But yes, no, Sam Stout also fights. I can't really fuck your fight. The main event, though, is a very, very good fight. This is a pay-per-view level fight. You know, it's a pay-per-view opener. I can't sit here and tell you it's a strong headliner, but fuck, man. I like it better than Ovin St. Preux versus Glover Teixeira, although that one did have the cachet of Teixeira having been a former challenger. But this is, you know, two top five, top seven featherweights going at it. Continue to expand the division. We keep thinking, you know, it's Jose Aldo and Conor McGregor and that's it, but, you know, Frankie's right there again. Cub Swanson, I think, can always just put together a couple wins and go on a run. As he did before. He's really close before he ran into Frankie. And the winner of this fight is right there. And Max Holloway's at 5 in a row. It's only his last loss. I don't think it's his only loss, but his last loss was the decision to Conor McGregor. So he holds the distinction of being the only guy that Conor McGregor never faced. Thus, he becomes the Miesha Tate of the featherweight division for Conor. You know what I'm getting at. His tits are not nearly as big. And in Charles Oliveira, we got a guy who's been around forever, it seems. And yet I think he's still 24 or 25 years old. Ridiculously young. Came into the UFC at 20, I think. And you've seen him grow as a fighter over the years. And he's had the appropriate growth, too. In that his overall, like the way he fights... This is a guy who is getting better every aspect of the game in a relatively even pace. And that tells me that somebody that's... And again, and he's getting better in all of them. That tells me that he's developing and he's training hard. He has a weakness to the body, no doubt about it. That is... And it's unfortunately, it's one of those things that you can't really do anything about. You know, some people can get hit in the head and just no matter what, they don't get knocked out. Some people get hit in the head and they just go down. Getting hit in the body, some people are a little weaker, I guess, when it comes to body shots than others. Oliveira seems to have that. Donald Cerrone hurt him with shots to the body. I think it was Cub Swanson basically ended his night with a shot to the body. And if this fight, you know, fight stays standing, if I'm Max Holloway, I know this in advance, and I'm just going to be throwing left hooks and switch kicks to the liver all night long. Maybe Oliveira can tough it out. I don't know. He's a bit of a mystery. Sometimes he's looked mentally weak. He's missed weight at times, telling me that maybe, you know, he mistimes his weight cuts, or he gets injured, or who knows what it is. But guys that, who've missed weight more than once, you kind of wonder. But he's got all the tools to be a star. Like we've seen in his last couple of fights, him really taking it to the next level, I think, strategy-wise, and employing very good takedowns. This is a guy who's taken down numerous opponents when he went in there with Andy Ogle, rather than stand and bang with Ogle, where he still would have been better. He took Ogle to the mat and eventually finished him with the choke, because he was looking for the surest path to victory. And, you know, he's got a decent takedown. He's got an okay... it's not really a single leg, or more closer to a double leg, but he drives forward well on it, and unlike a lot of guys, he not only is comfortable, but almost as equally dangerous off his back as on top. He's got one of the better MMA guards basically in the entire sport, and really, it really is. I mean, no, his credentials aren't as high, because he started fighting MMA at such a young age. But to have the level of success he's had off his back with triangles and sweeps and arm bars and such, while doing it in a lighter weight class where the talent's going to be greater, the quickness of the athletes is going to be, you know, simply higher, that, to me, I think it says a lot about the guy. I think he's a really, really, really good jiu-jitsu practitioner. We've seen him when he fought Hatsu Hiyoki, when he pulled off the Peruvian necktie. I think it was... He did the necktie to Hiyoki. He's got a variety of submissions. He can be on top. He can be in the transition. His long frame makes him an ideal candidate for basically everything in MMA but wrestling. And the fact that he's learning wrestling, at least offensively, tells me Juju can go. His defensive wrestling still needs work. True. But Max Holloway is actually very similar. Another guy that came to the UFC under 20 years old. People saw him as primarily a striker. And Holloway, unlike Oliveira, Oliveira debuted, I think it was Darren Elkins was his first fight, and he got taken down and he tapped out Elkins right away with a beautiful triangle that transitioned to an armbar. And everybody went, holy shit. And meanwhile, he stands up and he has a very, very, very classic Muay Thai style kickboxing. And whenever you wonder what the difference is kickboxing and Muay Thai has that straight up and down, not a ton of head movement. Every strike is thrown almost individually, but with a ton of power behind it. Max Holloway is a kickboxer more than a Muay Thai practitioner. He'll be a little lower to the ground. He's not Cub Swanson level low, where he's only focusing on his boxing. But he's throwing more, a little bit more combinations on his feet. Unlike Oliveira, he came into the UFC as a primarily known as a striker, and a very, very good one at that. And he's had his growing pains, but for somebody that he can barely be of legal drinking age, you know, these guys are prospects. And I think sometimes we overlook that and we forget it, and it's easy to write guys off. You go, oh, golly, he's had two or three losses already. What's he doing? Blah, blah, blah. But look no further than the careers of Robbie Lawler and Nick Diaz. They met each other early on in their careers. UFC 47, I think it was Nick's second fight after having beat Jeremy Jackson. And Lawler had, I think, three or four fights with mixed success. And they go out there. They had a hell of a battle on an undercard. I think it was UFC 47 or maybe 45, one of the mid-40s, with Nick famously knocking out Robbie. And here they are, a decade plus, and, you know, Robbie is the multi-time defending world champion, and Nick Diaz is a multiple-time world champion challenger who's proven himself to be adept at handling those levels of competition. I think in Holloway and Oliveira, you could see two guys similar to that. If there's, like I said, the biggest difference between the two is I believe Oliveira has a distinct advantage on the ground. But I think that Holloway has an advantage in mental toughness. I've seen Oliveira mentally crack. He shows when he gets hit and it hurts. He doesn't know how to kind of dig through that and not let the pain be known. And, you know, good for him, right? Well, not good for him, bad for him. I couldn't do it. Still, you know, over five rounds, I favor Oliveira to win. I favor him to win by submission. I think that he's going to use his striking and his distance to keep the fight a little bit at distance. But he will close it quick, get the takedown, and when he gets on top, he's going to be too much for Max Holloway. Max Holloway has a body type that's not good for, it's weird. It's like those long-legged guys, long-limbed, thin guys, on some respects, you're very good at submissions, but you're also a lot more susceptible to them. Like, it's a great offensive jiu-jitsu body, it's a poor defensive jiu-jitsu body. If you want to be really good at jiu-jitsu and just not get tapped out, you want to look like Johnny Hendricks or Chris Benoit. You know, you want to be a killer. If you want to be very good at it offensively, you want to look like Anderson Silva or Charles Oliveira, long and lean. Holloway is more long and lean than he is stocky, and since I don't think his jiu-jitsu is at the level of Oliveira, on top, he's not going to have as much strength in his shoulders and his biceps to fight off any arm triangle attempts. And on the bottom, he's going to be more susceptible to everything, you know, arm bars in particular. Leg locks I can see Oliveira using leg locks off the bottom as sweeping techniques. Holloway will probably do enough to keep, fuckity fuck fuck. He'll do enough to keep Oliveira honest on the ground, but I just don't see him at that level. And while there's always a chance, yeah, the cop out of all analysis of breakdowns, there's always a chance that Oliveira gets hit and dropped by a punch or a strike to the body. I really do think that he's just a little bit better. Charles Oliveira is close to that. I think he's closer to the elite level than Holloway is. Although they're both guys who have earned top 10 rankings. These are not gifts at 145 pounds. They are both very, very good. They would both be worthy challengers for the title, whether it's Jose Aldo or Conor McGregor. I don't think that either one of them are at that elite level just yet. It's funny, like, from talent-wise and physical tools-wise, Oliveira absolutely could be. I think he could be Jose Aldo 2.0. But I just think that they're that... I really do think that his problems when it concerns getting hit to the body and a willingness to, I think, look for a way out are going to come back and prevent him from reaching that top level. Whereas with Max Holloway, I just don't know if he's good enough to put together... He can put together wins against guys in the top 10. He can beat, you know, your 5s to 10s, your 10s to 15s, things of that nature. And I think he could do so on a regular basis. But when it comes to the top 5, you know, Frankie Edgar maybe, but the Chad Mendes types, Conor McGregor, we saw what happened with him and Conor, him and Jose, I don't see that as working out too well for him. You know, there is a difference. We've seen it now between the Chads, the Frankie. It was Chad, Frankie, and Aldo, I thought, for the longest time, just were so much better at 145 than pretty much everyone else. And, you know, Conor's proven himself, at least as of now, to be at that level. I think that Oliveira and Holloway fit into that next level, the Ricardo Lamas level. I think either one of them could be fine with Lamas. And you saw Lamas, you know, again, they can compete with the top guys, but can they put together consistent wins? No. At least not yet. If somebody could, it'd be Oliveira. And don't write them off. Because of the nature of the sport, because of how You know, shit happens. People grow up. I have an entire column I'm working on in my head on, you know, fighters that have persevered and kept going. And sometimes, you know, some guys are written off. Some guys are, they look like they're studs, and then they just, you never hear from them again. And some guys turn out to be Robbie Lawler or Fabrice Verdum or even fucking Andre Arlovsky's back and Mark Hunt. You know, there are those guys. And so that's real. I mean, really, look, it's a one fight show. You have no clue. Like, you can never really say whether the show is worth watching or not. A show is not worth watching because of the value of the names on the card. That may get you excited, but for all we fucking know, the card could suck. I've seen plenty of shows with stacked cards, and you go, fuck, this is can't miss, and then it misses. And I'll never forget UFC 91 headlined by Couture and Brock Lesnar. And the undercard didn't have anything that jumped out at you as special, and yet it delivered in every way, and it was one of the best shows of the year. The fucking Scotland show. The main event, really the last two fights, but the main event, they were the worst fights in the show. Everything else leading up to it, guys you'd never heard of, locals from Scotland, guys who were barely a step above cage rage, whatever underground ball kicking, or whatever they do in Scotland. And they went out there and had incredible fights with incredible atmosphere. Same with Ireland and the Irish shows, things like that. So for all we know, I mean, this show with guys like, you know, Neil Magny's he's actually probably makes for a more exciting fight with Eric Story. Story should still win. But you see, you know, Sam Stout's on the undercard, and maybe he won't get knocked out really bad, and so on and so forth. The show, it's a crapshoot. You never know. Shit could just be great. And you never know when you're watching the next generation. I would remember UFC 66, Thiago Alves fought, I think, either on the opener, or I think maybe in a prelim fight. And I want to say it was Tony D'Souza, but I don't know if that's right. And nobody thought anything of it. Thiago Alves, oh, we kind of heard of him, but whatever. And then here he is years later. He was one of the triple headliners for the biggest UFC in the history of the sport. He's been a multiple-time world champion, contender at the highest level. He's competed with the best. He's headlined shows left and right. So you never know. I mean, there may be some dude on the undercard. Last week you saw Dustin Ortiz from Nashville there. Rufus guy, sure. But he's, you know, there is no reason that Dustin Ortiz doesn't go out and challenge for the flyweight title in the next year or two. He's very good. And so who knows, you know, shit happens. But the main event should be good. I look forward to it. I'll see it somehow. And, Friday, we already have an extensive piece up earlier today, as you can see, talking about Dana White and his failures by James Swift. Just an amazing, amazing piece of journalism. Tomorrow we'll have my written preview on all this. And then Monday, you know, we did the first people to really talk about the PED problems with the UFC and USADA. And then we had the brilliant piece on George St. Pierre and the Union. Well, Monday, we've got a new target. Athletic commissions everywhere, and it's a good one. It's another one of those Mike does work and acts like a lawyer and uses his brain for once pieces. So that will be coming Monday, and so expect that to be much talked about. The site's growing, halfguarded.com. I didn't think it would actually make it this long or be this good. And of course, enjoy the rest of the shit on this website. This podcast, Five Star Radio, shithole. Comic Conversation, On the Comic Couch. Those guys are gods. They're taking over my fucking site. It's getting to the point where I don't have a site. It's basically just Mike Axe's facilitator for the best comic book conversationalist in the, you know, I would say the industry. I don't know what industry that would be. The comic book industry, why not? To do their thing. If you're not listening to Comic Conversations, you're probably just an idiot and an ass. But I look forward to seeing everybody. Maybe I'll see some of you all in New York for what I deem the first and probably last ever HalfGuarded.com convention, because it's just going to be me, the great Sean McGee from the website, a man only known as Doc, and Wobbs, who also is in theory associated with the... Oh, yeah, actually, no, Wobbs did... He runs some of the social media stuff for us. He did that one Battleground preview. So, yeah, we're all going to be in New York, New Jersey, enjoying all the festivities of wrestling. Becky Lynch, I'm coming for you. I want an Irish last kicker as a wife.
So
enjoy that. Nah, I won't see any of you because I don't give a shit. But we'll be back. We'll be back soon. And until that comes, I say to one and all, good fight, good night, et au revoir, mes amis.
Star man before the internet. I'm damn sure a five-star man now, okay? I just gotta drop the dead weight so I can shine.